Welcome, welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
I'm DJ Coco.
And yeah, we just ran through a bunch of songs, so let me rattle them off for all of you. That song that was just played is like my favorite song right now. I've been having it on repeat, and it is Fall For You, Sandy Rivera's classic mix, but it's the Moody Man edit. I really like Moody Man. And the song itself is by Kings of Tomorrow, April, and Sandy Rivera. And it's from the album DJ Kicks Moody Man DJ Mix. And I have been listening to that album. There's a ton of other good songs on that. So if you like that song, go check out the other mixes. Before that was Paycheck, and the song was Temporary Love from their debut album, Paycheck. Also a good one. And then DJ Coco can take over because those were her songs.
We had so many songs back to back. There was the last one after that one was Okinawa by Ping Pong Go from the album Smash Combat. Really cool analog grasshopper album cover. So there's that. And then the one before that was Endless featuring Bia 1991 by Jump Source, Patrick Holland, Priori, and Bia 1991. And then we did two back-to-back Isabella Love Story.
Actually,
songs.
Three. I added one more in there that was Mariposa by Isabella Love Story.
But they were, I guess, was it from a more hardcore? No.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
I think so. Or actually, it might have been a single.
Mm.
But she's really good.
But she's good. We played... you know what? You got this.
Exhibitionista.
Exhibitionista.
Yeah.
And then... Got you?
Gateo,
featuring Miss Nina, and then the third one, the single, was
Mariposa.
So lots of songs back to back. If you didn't catch all that, we'll probably be posting this on the website, so you can check the names out there
if all goes well.
If not, then this is going into the void.
Yeah.
Anyways, on to the topic for today, which we didn't actually allude to that much. We just said that we'd be talking about something, but today we'll be talking about kind of the role of capitalism and how it impacts us from not achieving, but having true holistic health and well-being. Because I think that this is something that is sold to us, especially a lot with social media, with certain, you know, wellness aesthetics and all the products that come with it, and specifically for health lifestyles. So this is going to be more focused on a lot of the physical health lifestyles that are marketed towards, especially girls. So this is also going to be focused on women and girls.
Mm-hmm. And just a note of how much the global wellness industry makes, and it's all about wellness in theory, right? But it makes $6.8 trillion annually. And it's like, are people actually getting more well or have better well-being? Like, no. I think the well-being has been plummeting globally. Mm-hmm. But then somehow people are making more and more money off of it. So it's very questionable, right?
Yeah. it's a little insane that we can profit off well-being in general. But just before we get into that and the nuances, just to give a definition of well-being, because I think it can be kind of misinterpreted. I find it confusing at times as well. But wellness is the holistic integration of physical, mental, spiritual, a well-being, where you're fueling the body, you're engaging the mind, and you're nurturing your spirit. So you are basically living life as full as you can, given your circumstances. And this idea, as you can hear, is already way bigger than just physical health, which I think a lot of the wellness industry really hones in on, is, you know, tracking your heart rate and wearing Fitbits and things like that of all physical being. But I feel like we don't really talk about spiritual well-being, for example.
Yeah, and the wellness industry is about physical well-being, but it's also more so, even in my opinion, about the aesthetic of perpetuating this image of well-being. Mm-hmm. So like, that's what a lot of skincare goes into, is like looking like you are healthy, but that doesn't necessarily go deeper than just, you know, skin deep.
Yeah, so it's like you could have a terrible diet and relationship with food, but at least your skin looks nice. Kind
exactly.
of
or like, at least you look thin.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, things are not balanced well in your life.
Exactly. And as well with the wellness definition, there are also the dimensions of intellectual, you know, to be well, to be in well-being and holistic well-being. This is also including, you know, continuous learning and, you know, just being a lifelong learner.
Yeah, and I also have, like, through each dimension, I was thinking we could go through, and then I have a little example of how capitalism actually kind of stops us from fully achieving each dimension, even though it gives the illusion of that it is attainable under the system. So for, like, intellectual, learning does cost quite a lot, and you need free time outside of a job to dedicate yourself to learning. Like, universities in Canada and the US and in many places across the world are just business, and that's why they charge so much money, as well as just to, like, maximize their profits without actually caring about educating the population.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, same with all those online courses that people teach, and you gotta press a link and have a subscription, and you just can't do anything without a paywall, essentially, with learning.
Yeah.
The other dimensions as well, emotional. So for well-being, it's understanding feelings, you know, emotions of yourself and others.
Yeah, and I don't think emotional well-being is very much prioritized under capitalism either, because how do employers react when you say you want to take a mental health day? Like, that is still pretty stigmatized. I think you are allowed to, but it is not looked well upon, I would say, especially if you have some sort of chronic mental health condition, and it's seen as an inconvenience to your efficiency as a worker.
Yeah, and we just label it as society as, you know, you're just weak-minded. Like, why can't you work harder? You're so lazy. And we put all these negative labels and connotations with it, even though that I, as we are pushing towards more rest and destigmatizing mental health and having mental health days, but it is hard, and we aren't going to get there anytime soon.
No.
Other dimensions, social. So this is having healthy relationships with friends, families, romantic relationships, and also contributing to your community as well.
Yeah, and I think social connections have been diminishing more and more, like, the further we get into capitalism. Like, it's, people are spending less time with their friends and family than ever. And I think there's a multitude of reasons for that, but just capitalism does really encourage this individualistic mindset and this kind of competition mindset amongst one another. There's not a lot of sharing because, you know, you have a scarcity mindset, and that kind of stops you from being able to be in community and make these communal decisions that benefits everyone rather than just yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple extra dimensions of well-being are also vocational. So your work and your work identity, is it fulfilling? Financial, so financial well-being, are you financially stable? And environmental.
Yeah, and like every aspect of that, I can think of so many reasons why capitalism doesn't really allow for that, like especially environmental. We already know the environment's getting really messed up because of profits and how there's so many poor living conditions for people, especially indigenous people.
But, exactly. Yeah. So, just overall, I think
a little dismal.
There's a little hand gripped on every single dimension of well-being that is essentially out of our control for us to achieve our own, you know, holistic well-being state of being. Mm-hmm. And I think it is very difficult. Like, it just raises the question of how can we actually embrace true holistic health and well-being when we are constantly being sold products and sold things to, or told that there are things wrong in our life and then being sold something to fix it by capitalism.
Yeah, exactly. Like, capitalism, as we've seen in all these dimensions, it creates an environment that breeds the opposite of wellness and then tries to sell it right back to you with products that don't actually fix the problem, like DJ Coco said. And, you know, the real problems are, you know, the sedentary lifestyle that we all have from working 40 plus hours a week for the most part, a lot of exploitation labor, lack of communities, the scarcity mindset, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, those are things that are really hard to overcome when you're living under capitalism and are also trying to pursue, because everyone wants to have a high level of well-being and wants to be doing good. But, you know, when we're spending money and resources on things that don't actually help us, then it's kind of a waste. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And going off this as well, I wanted to bring up a couple of specific examples that I think are very relevant to, you know, modern age right now with all these well-being lifestyles that are sold by big brands, big companies, to women specifically, that really focus on the physical and mental health component of wellness, even though it is marketed as, you know, this very, you know, take control of your life, well-being, you'll be happy, this is what will make you happy kind of message behind it.
Yeah, and I did kind of want to bring up one mini side conversation of like, why are women the ones being targeted the most with this kind of content? Like, I don't see all of these different images and personas being advertised to men. Like, there's not a single archetype for women where it's like, oh, this is what you should do. Like, there's so many different subgroups, and a lot of the ones for men are just like, okay, they obviously fit the traditional gender role of like what a man should be, but there's much less advertising and like targeting them than it is for women. And I'm just like, there's so many more female influencers that kind of perpetuate this cycle of selling their fellow women more products. Mm. And I feel like I can understand why they might, but it is still, in my opinion, it's kind of a big problem because these influencers have high levels of femininity, or like they present very femininely at least, and they're rewarded for that with high viewer engagement and support for being beautiful. Mostly it's because they're beautiful, right? If there's a female influencer that's popular. And then they have this traction, they can make money by selling products that other women might think that they can achieve if they get these products, like the same amount of beauty. And then it just kind of is like this continuous cycle where you have to like keep promoting well-being products while being super beautiful to like make money. And I don't know, I just find it an interesting cycle of like, why.
I think that's also why apps like Pinterest are very female dominated, because it is just women really using these apps to look at the aesthetic. I feel like the word aesthetic, I've never heard really many men or online forums, spaces that talk about so much in depth about having an aesthetic.
And if they do, it's labeled as gay, basically.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, like, why are you trying to upkeep your image so much, or why do you want your image like this? So I guess with the aesthetic, like, aesthetics and wanting aesthetics, yeah, are, as DJ Star says, very tied into appearance and image, which are all femininity.
Yeah, and we've been targeted historically to prioritize our appearance and image. So that's kind of a reason why, at least some of the reason why, that there's so many of these different lifestyles that are targeted towards women, and that, like, we're also really susceptible to as well.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think also, I think that there is a bigger dominance of these lifestyle aesthetics being sold to women. There are, I think, as capitalism is now understanding, that men also want to also fit in these aesthetic lifestyle boxes. So there are things like, you know, gym bro, and they have all this, like, you know, their protein and creatine powders and their Gymshark tank tops. And then you have guys who are runners who also fall in the same, you know, runner lifestyle category and have to buy all these products. But I think overall there are still women being targeted more for these very niche lifestyles, which we'll get into right now. So if you are, I guess, on the younger side, like Gen Z, millennial, probably heard of Pilates, what it is. And I think that this is the biggest one that stood out to me when I was looking up different lifestyles, is that the Pilates girl, which is very popular on social media, apps like Pinterest, Instagram, where it is based around this exercise where it's pretty much stretching on a machine with resistance. So it's somewhat, I think, resistance training and also very cardio-like. But it's the image that is surrounding this Pilates workout that is more, I think, say the word.
Pervasive,
yeah. And I think that the fact that you look up the word Pilates girl, the first images that you can see, they are things like the very thin woman, very thin white woman, wearing very expensive gym clothing. They are in a fancy apartment, fancy location. They are on these expensive yoga mats and they're drinking, you know, crystal water. Or there's a woman who is in the mountains and she's doing a yoga pose doing some Pilates exercise outside. And it's very emphasizing this, you know, first of all, the idea of, you know, peace and well-being kind of thing. But then all the underlying currents of, look, she's also thin and this is also all very luxurious and something that is hard to obtain, kind of thing. And so that's just one lifestyle that instantly, I think, that is just not really a way for, like, it's sold as well-being. But I think that if you just follow that lifestyle, it's not like your whole life's going to be better kind of thing.
No.
Like, you're just looking at the capitalistic image of what you think you should have.
Exactly. And to achieve this lifestyle or this aesthetic, there's so many associated different products that you should buy, because if you want to get into this and you want to be serious about this, you need to invest in also the aesthetic in order to achieve the image. And that's the case for, like, so many of these different aesthetics or, like, lifestyles that are sold under the guise of wellness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just another way for capitalism to make money off of you.
Oh yeah, like, to go to a Pilates class, holy
Those
cow,
are expensive.
They are expensive. I know someone who's doing Pilates classes, and each one was an insane amount. I think it was 60, 70, no, not even. I think that was too low, actually. It was like $70 just for one class. $3 million could be.
Yeah.
But, like, it was like $70 for one class or something like that. And of course, like, you need to have the exercise clothes. You got to go buy that. And you got to bring your yoga mat. And you got to bring your fancy water ball and your fancy water. And you need also a matcha latte in hand kind of thing, so you'll fit in with the rest of the Pilates girls. And you also have to be really thin, too.
Mm-hmm.
So probably on Ozempic, or you're just naturally thin. It's just that whole image that is sold when someone wants to go into this lifestyle. And the thing is, there's not just Pilates. there are hundreds of other lifestyles, maybe not hundreds, but for exercise and well-being could be, that aren't as popular. But the other ones I can think right off the bat are also, you know, being a gym girl, for example, where there was this more, I think in a couple years ago more, it's already starting to fade off because now we're going into very thin spo, they call it, and that's a whole issue right now.
That's like, that could be a whole topic
that
on itself.
Should be we will be talking
about, yeah, let's
about
talk
that.
About thinspo next week.
That will be a whole thing because we used to prioritize, you know, with this gym girl lifestyle, with that also was marketed with capitalism because it's like, oh, girls, you can be strong, you know, hit the gym, wear your matching Gymshark clothes, and you can also have your gym bag and your headphones. Also take your supplements. You also need creatine. Also, you should buy protein powder. Mm-hmm. And you should also buy our weight tracking apps and our protein goals. Blah, 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 blah. Just goes on where, you know, the idea is great. Like, you know, women who want to get strong. We're now prioritizing more health instead of, you know, being as thin as possible and image in a way. But at the same time, capitalism still wins because they're selling you all these things along with this lifestyle. Even though you could just honestly head to the gym and you can go to your community center, community gym, hit a lift, don't need any fancy stuff. And you wouldn't be considered a gym girl under capitalism because you don't have all these products and all these, you know, all these products that come along with the lifestyle.
Yeah, and something I noticed about just all of these different kind of pre-packaged aesthetics or lifestyles is that they're going in and out of popularity too, like DJ Coco mentioned. And like, yeah, a few years ago, going to the gym, working on your glutes was super popular along with other acceptable body standards for women when the Kardashians, for example, still had, you know, like curvy bodies, and that was more in trend. And like now we are seeing such a drastic shift towards what the expectations for women's bodies should be, and it's going to super thin, super unrealistic, and also a lot, like, obviously it could be argued that both of them are kind of eating disorder-esque, because when things get that extreme, it's really hard to have a healthy relationship with food when you're like so committed to just like this one thing that makes up your entire identity. But these things are going in and out of style, so it maintains the cycle of spending and of never feeling like you're good enough, because with each coming trend, the change in what you need to invest in buy changes, but also the body image goals that you're trying to achieve are constantly changing as well.
Exactly. And I think going off that, with the thinness trend now coming back, I think that's when we're all seeing this, you know, big runner lifestyle. Like, everyone's running now. I don't know why everyone's doing a marathon right now, but obviously I'm not the only one who sees this. And it is all, I think, I have a bone to pick with the runner lifestyle, especially with marathon runners, because I think it can go, running is great, but I think it can go into a dangerous territory when it involves a lot of this hustle and grind culture of always being efficient, working the hardest, and as well into eating disorder territory where you're trying to, you know, you ate too much, so you try to go for a run and try to work off your meal kind of thing. But anyways, we can go into a bunch of lifestyles, but we are kind of close to running out of time already.
Oh my God, I don't know if we can get through this all.
And we will not be able to get through this
all. Let's try.
But let's finish off, I think, that at least for the issue. So I think that with these lifestyles, you can see that they all have a very one focus. Like Pilates is your focus, you know, the gym is your focus, the running lifestyle is your focus, and all of them are all just specific types of exercises that are more emphasized. So Pilates is more, I guess more cardio and stretching, while the gym is more resistance and running is cardio as well.
And ultimately, may I just add quickly that the focus is not only Pilates or the gym. The ultimate focus is the image associated with it and like the product that is produced by being this type of person.
Yeah. So then it's like that single identity with that person. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, you're the Pilates girl kind of thing. And this is emphasized by the media, by capitalism, because it funds them. But The problem is that if you box yourself into these labels, so example, you are the Pilates girl, you risk out missing out on other dimensions of well-being that we said before that bring actual joy into your life. So if you are always, like, you're going from work, you're hitting your Pilates class all the time, all you can think about is Pilates and how you can buy all the products for your Pilates, doing Pilates classes, always talking about it. You miss out on the time that you can spend, you know, for your well-being that includes, like, you know, intellectually, like, you could go do a workshop, go learn new things, or you could spend time with your family and friends, but no, you don't, you need to go to your Pilates class, so you can't spend time with your family, friends, or just even, you know, exploring your spirituality, or, you know, being more present in your religion's place of meeting, for example. So let's say, like, your Pilates classes are overtaking your life, that you don't want to spend as much time thinking about, let's say, your relationship with whatever God you have or whatever God you don't have.
Yeah, and I think a big part of this is that capitalism teaches us that we have to be exceptional in some way in order to have value in the system, like exceptionally beautiful or exceptionally good at one specific thing where you can, like, specialize and make the most money out of that. Mm-hmm. And also just either do that or advertise how exceptional you are too.
Yeah.
And there's very little value or merit associated to just being a person, like being a human, just being a normal person is not enough. And there's a lot of people have fears of being super average, like I do as well, because there's not too much, yeah, like I said, intrinsic value in the way you treat others or how you are as a person, what relationships you have with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's a big part of the reason as well.
Yeah. Like, you can't do Pilates. Like, you can't be known as the Pilates girl and the gym girl and the runner.
And the good friend. And, like,
and the good friend. Like, you can't do it all. And so, yeah, if you do it all, then no one can make money off you. So,
yeah, because it's balance. That's the whole point, is, like, you have a balance.
And so the problem is with, sum it up, balance is pretty much is what holistic well-being is. And capitalism wants you to be out of balance.
Yeah,
at all point in times.
Basically, it encourages that.
They want you to specialize in one area only. Forget about all the other sections, because they can make money when you specialize and you also perpetuate that image to others. And so to tackle this, I think a solution is honestly breaking yourself from a single identity of what you normally do. Like, some people are known as, like, oh, you are the one who always does, like, I have a friend who always does marathons kind of thing. But it's like, what if you are the friend that goes for runs, but also hits the gym, but also goes played volleyball, but also goes for a swim sometimes? Like, that is actually what is recommended for health recommendations as well, is to get a combination of, you know, strength training, resistance, cardio. And that's the message they've been saying.
And we think we have to go now. We have to wrap it up. So sorry, everyone, to get the subject cut off. But, you know, we have shows after us and we've been yapping. So
we've been yapping.
Thank you for tuning in and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. La distance.